good crowd up here tonight, amen, or this morning. Y'all go ahead. Y'all going to have a grand old time. Brother Nick, we're praying for you, brother. Take your Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter number 8, the book of Matthew chapter number 8. God has put something on my heart this week, and I was telling one of the boys this morning in my office, I've got binders and binders and binders full of messages from all the years I've been preaching, and you know, it's nice to be able to look through there and God say, I want you to preach this one. And here lately, God's been giving me different thoughts and new messages, and I've been going through here. But this week, God's put a thought on my heart, and Brother Heitz, you might know what I'm talking about this morning, but I've had a hard time putting it on paper. God's put a thought on my heart, and I tried to write down a few things, but I don't even know if we'll follow along with that or not tonight, this morning. It might be short, it might be long, I don't know, but just want to give you some things this morning that God's given me. And see a problem across the country in different places I've had the privilege to preach. And it's the same situation just about everywhere I go. And that is a lack of families, a lack of individuals, a lack of churches that are just simply following God. That are just simply following the leadership of God in their home and in their marriage and in their family. And I'm telling you what, church, this morning, I preached it before and I'll preach it till I'm blue in the face or till I die. We must have God. We have to have Him. We have to have His power. We have to have His presence. We have to have Him in our life and in our home and in this church. We have to have God. And I want to preach a message this morning on simply just following God. We have to follow Him. We don't need to be the ones leading the way. We don't need to be the ones in charge. We need to be following God. Y'all seen the bumper stickers. God is my co-pilot. Amen. You ought to be in the trunk and let Him drive. You shouldn't even be a co-pilot. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes co-pilots tell you where to go and what to do when you're driving. Amen. Sometimes backseat driver. Anybody know, brother, you don't have no backseat drivers, do you? Amen. I know you got all them kids. Oh, he's pointing. He's got fingers pointing all over the place. Amen. Backseat driving. Does anybody have them drivers that when you're driving and you go to turn and they think they see something, they're grabbing everything and they're stomping on the brake and you're sitting next to them? Amen. You know, you got God is my coach. What are you doing driving? Amen. Why isn't He driving? And I got a lot on my heart this morning. I need to get to some verses here. We're going to look at several verses I wrote down if God will allow us this morning. Matthew chapter number 8. Look at verse number 18. Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. If you found your place, if you would, say amen. Amen. Matthew, I love my Bible this morning. Amen. This Bible, they sing, my Bible is a road map. My Bible's a map. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto Him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That's a good thing this morning. God, wherever you lead, God, wherever you're going to go, I want to follow you. Now, it's one thing to tell God, Lord, wherever you go, that's where I want to be. It's another thing to do it. It's another thing to practice it. We can have the Word of God, and I believe we've got it this morning. And I about preached my voice gone this week. Amen. Y'all pray for me. But we can have the Word of God, and we can have this King James Bible, and we can have the right music, the right standards, the right dress, and all those things in our church, but if we don't live those in our everyday life, they're not doing us any good. We can have, and I believe we've got the best Bible there is, but if you never crack it open, it's not doing you any good. Amen? We must follow God. He said, wherever you go, I want to go. That ought to be your heart's desire for your home, for your marriage, for your children, for your family, for this church. God, wherever you go, that's where we're going. Somewhere down the line in church history, God was going a certain way, and the church decided they're going to take another way. They decided they would have their own book. They decided they'd have their own version of the Bible. They decided they'd have their own style of worship. They decided they'd have their own style of music. And somewhere down the line, the church took a turn when God was staying in the old paths. The Bible says in Jeremiah 6:16, to seek ye out the old paths. I'm talking about the ones that are worn by those that serve God and follow God and love God. And somewhere down the line, the churches took a different route. And now we got a generation of Christians. There's a generation of young people that don't even know who God is. I'm talking about sitting in church. There's a generation of young people that are sitting in church and they don't know the power of God. They don't know the presence of God. They don't even know how to pray to God. They don't have a clue about who God really is. They don't have a clue of what it is to need God more than anything. They don't have a clue. I think some of y'all see me preach the ping pong message, amen? And I've been preaching that several times lately, and God's given me a new illustration that I lived in my life, and I vividly remember, as a young man, as a boy, being in a situation where we did not have any money as a family. We had no food, we had nothing, and I remember my mom and dad getting down on their hands and their knees before God and begging God to provide something, because if He didn't, we weren't eating. Now, my parents never told me that, but I remember seeing them get down and pray, and you know what? They would tell us it's going to be okay, and then they would get in their prayer closet and pray and say, God, if You don't provide, we're not eating today. You say, what happened? I vividly remember one of those instances, and this happened time after time, but I remember one like it was yesterday. We prayed that night. They gave us kids the last thing there was to eat. And I remember asking mom and dad, why aren't you eating? They said, we're not hungry. No, there was no food left. We got up that next morning. There was two sacks of groceries sitting on the front porch. To today, they have no clue where they came from. They never told anybody. God provided. God said, sent somebody down there and said, hey, go down by the McAfee house and just drop off some groceries. You know, Sarah and I have never one time in our life had to get down and beg God for groceries. We've never had to do that, brother. Now, you say, hey, we're blessed. We're spoiled also. You know why we don't need God today in our church? You know why we don't need Him in our home? Because we have MasterCard and Visa. When we get in a bind, we just go swipe some plastic. Amen? We don't need God because we've got Google. Because we've got WebMD. I'm telling you what, church, we better realize that we need God. And we don't start realizing that in our home and in our family, in our marriage, in the raising of our children, and in the church, we're going to get away from Him and His blessings. We have to have God. I need God in this church. Selfishly, I want God in this church because of my family. I want God to move through here. I want these kids to know who God is. And I want them to know how good He is. You know what we try to do with our children? Even if we have the money to go down and pay cash for something, and they say, I want something, we'll tell them, why don't you pray about it? Trying to teach them just to pray and trust God. We're living in a generation today that doesn't even know who God is. There's never been a time in their life where they have needed Him more than their next breath. But you know what you need to get to in your marriage and in your home and in this church? We need to get to the point where we have to have God. We need to change our mindset. Now, there's nothing wrong with doctors and medicine and all those kind of things. I mean, God uses people and He uses those things, but He ought to be our first avenue to go to. He ought to be the very first one that we consult, from the smallest to the greatest problem. It ought to be, God, would You please give me wisdom on this thing? Would You give me guidance instead of looking on the internet? Amen. People will get sick. I've seen it time and time again. You'll go up to somebody and say, man, you're not feeling well, are you? No, I'm not feeling well. What's happening? I'm dying. You're dying? Well, man, what do you got? And they'll list all these things they got. Man, when'd you go to the doctor? Oh, I haven't been to the doctor. I was on WebMD. I was on Google. And I looked up my symptoms, and I'm not going to make it another week. Y'all know anybody like that? Y'all don't know nobody like that, do you? Amen? And they think they're dying and they're dead. Hey, Did you pray and talk to God about it first? Before you ripped out the plastic, and before you just, hey man, I tell you, there's Christians everywhere. They rip them out, they pull out that card and yell, "Charge!" And they get themselves in a position. But I'm trying to tell you today, there's a fear in my heart, and there's a fear of these kids and these families and these homes of living their life and not knowing who God really is. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with Him. I'm talking about wherever you go, God, wherever you go, we're going to follow you. And we're going to follow your guidance. Regardless of what man says, regardless of what the other church says, regardless of what anybody says, we're going to follow God and His Word. So that we will know who He is. We can say He's our God and we are His people. Amen. There's a lot of people that say they're Christians. They say they're godly churches, and God is nowhere to be found. Why? Somewhere down the line, they stopped following God. There's families this morning, their homes are busted to pieces. They're having to get their kids out of the drug house or out of rehab or off the street, and they're having to get them out of jail, and they're busted up, and they started off in church somewhere, and somewhere down the line, they stopped following God. They got mad at the preacher, or got mad at the deacon, or got mad at the Sunday school teacher, or got mad, and they got crossways and decided to quit on God and stop following. And now they look back on their life and say, what happened? You took a wrong turn somewhere down back through there. Say, what if that happened to me this morning? Go back to where you left God. Say, God, this is where I left you right here, and I need to make things right with you. And I want to start following you again, and I want a home that's pleasing to you. And God, I want to bless you. And we find here that this man came to Jesus and he said, I want to follow you whithersoever thou goest, wherever you go, God, I want to be there. You know what we do in our life and in our home? We put God in our box. We say we want to be able to watch these movies and listen to this music and do these things, and we make God okay with it in our mind. But does it follow God's Word? You know what it ought to be? It ought to be, God, we want to do what pleases you. Not try to make God fit our plans. We ought to be fitting His plans. Amen? I hear people all the time try to justify their sin. Well, I know what the Bible says, but me and God got a deal worked out. They don't have the same God I do. Amen? You know what they're serving? They're serving the God of their flesh. It's either God's way or no way. Man, I love my Bible right here tonight, and that is our final authority. You heard people say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, you know what I'm here to tell you this morning? God said it, that settles it. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Amen. We got to follow. We need God. Amen. We need God. Look on in that verse there. Whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds have the birds of the air have this, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know what he was telling them right there? He said, this world is not my home. Amen. He said, I don't have any place to lay my head down. Jesus Christ was always on the move. He was always preaching. He was always teaching. He had nowhere to lay his head. He was a prophet in his own country, and they didn't want nothing to do with him. I'm telling you this morning, church, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We have a temporary dwelling here, but one day we'll be in heaven with God Almighty. And I'm here to tell you right now, the day you stand before your Creator, you're going to wish that you would have followed Him down here. The Bible says when we get to heaven, all tears will be wiped away. But that's not till after the judgments. Oh, I'm afraid there's going to be some tears. There's going to be some tears. We're going to see family, and we're going to see loved ones, and we're going to see acquaintances come by at the great white throne judgment that we could have witnessed to, that we could have led to the Lord, that we could have been example to, and they're going to stand before God, and they're going to look in the book of life, and their name's not there, and they're going to drop off in hell. And we're going to be sitting there watching it the whole time thinking, man, I wish I'd have followed God in my life. Man, I wish my grandbaby would have got saved. I wish my son, my daughter, man, I wish I had a marriage that pleased God. But the whole time, I lived my life doing what I wanted to do. And all over God's creation this morning, there's a so-called church that has fell into apostasy and they've turned their back on God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They're meeting in churches all over the place and they mean well and all those things they want to say, but they're doing it their way and they stop following God. And I want to say this morning, we need to follow God. We need to follow Him. And He said, hey, I don't have anywhere to lay my head. And you know what He was telling them? That guy said, wherever you go, I'm going to go. He said, well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you can follow me, but I don't even have a place to lay my head. He said, I'm going to be on the move. There's no place for me to go. And if you follow me, you got to know that. But hey, I'm telling you, I'd rather have no place to lay my head with God than have a place to lay it without Him. I'd rather be in a place where everything's not perfect and there might be persecution and there might be suffering and there might be problems. But if I'm with God, what does it matter? Than I would to have all the comforts of this life and not have God in my family. What would it be like for me to have all the comforts of this life and all the money and wealth and whatever I want on this earth and my kids die and go to hell? What would it be worth it then? Was it worth it to have all those extra things of this world? Was it worth to have the big house and all the vehicles and have all those things and enjoy this life if I lose my kids and they die and go to hell? What would it be worth for us as a church to compromise on that book and to compromise on our music and to compromise on serving God and doing it the Bible way? What would it be worth it if we did that and had 10,000 people and we lost some kids that died and went to hell because they didn't know who God was? What would it be worth it then? I'm telling you, it wouldn't be worth it. I'd rather have a small handful that following God and doing something for Him and see God work in homes and work in families and work in lives than to have 10,000 people that aren't following God. And He told them there, He said, hey, wherever I go, He said, I want to go with you, God. And God said, well, all right, you can go with me, but I don't have nowhere to lay my head. But He said, I want to go anyway. Look there with me in verse number 21. And another of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. He said, God, I want to follow You, but me first. You know what we're ate up with in this country? Captain, me first. We want a Burger King religion. You say, what's that? Burger King slogan is, have it your way. Amen. I don't like onions. I go there and say, I don't want onions. And they don't give me onions. Sometimes they do. Because restaurants are going to get it wrong. No matter where you go, they're going to get it wrong. If you go in there expecting that, then you won't get upset because you expected it. Amen. But we have a Burger King religion. Have it my way. They've got a church for everything. Everything you can think of, everything you can imagine, there's a church for it. There's a church here in Warrior where you can go smoke dope. At the church, a Native American church. Was that not in the newspaper? And they're allowed to legally do that because of their ancestry or whatever. And they call themselves a church. Amen? They got churches for everything. But somewhere down the line, we stopped following God. And just like this disciple here, God said, I'm going in this direction. What do you want to do? And he said, me first. We got churches and Christians and homes and marriages and families that are ate up with me first. You know why marriages are falling apart? Not following God. It's about me first. It's selfishness. They're ate up with selfishness. Families, homes, kids, churches, they're ate up with me first. And I'm telling you, if we're going to follow God, it doesn't matter about you. It matters about the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter about me first. He said, me first. And I'm telling you what, that's one of the problems when it comes to following God, is we put ourselves in the way. Every time I've done something without getting God's permission or praying about it, letting God lead me has been a mess. Every single time. He said, bid me first. He said he needed to go do something there. Bid me first. Verse number 22, but Jesus saith unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. So you don't need to worry about them. Let them take care of themselves. You just need to follow me. And I'm here to tell you this morning, church, as families, as homes, as individuals, as a church, we need to follow God and not worry about that. Not worry about our desires and our selfishness. It needs to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. About Him. Well, I don't like that music. Why? Because it doesn't get your toes tapping. Amen. Well, I don't like... Hey, you don't like those old hymns of Zion where God, the Holy Spirit, moves in and puts your heart under conviction? I don't like that Bible. I don't like the way it reads. Last week a man told me, he said, man, he said, all the these and thous, and I have a hard time understanding it. So I go get me an NIV. You know what I told him? I said, if you have a hard time understanding that book, when you read it, you need to get saved. Because the Bible says that the Spirit of God will teach you those things, and it'll bear witness with it. Now, if you just got saved last week, don't go over to Daniel, and don't go over to Revelation and expect that you're going to understand all the 10 toes and the 10 kings. You're not going to. Just read it and keep praying, and about the 100th time you've read it, years down the road, God's going to reveal to you what that's talking about. And you get under the preaching of God's Word and the teaching of God's Word, and God will show you those things. Amen? But you read the book and you get in it. Just because we don't like what it says, we're going to get rid of it. Amen? They're doing it all over the place. But we don't need to do it. We need to follow God. But this just doesn't go for our church. This goes for our homes. Our homes need to follow God. Our homes need to put God first and not ourselves. The things that please us. He told them there. He said, you let the dead bury the dead. There's a lot that can be preached out of this portion of Scripture. In there, verse number 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? I want to tell you here tonight that this life can be cruel. This life can be hard. This life can be vicious. The devil is a roaring lion. Now, he told these disciples who were experienced fishermen. They were experienced, brother. They knew what they were doing. God found them when they were out working fishing. And he got these men. He said, follow me. And they followed him onto that boat. Now, they could have not followed him, and they could have got on another boat, going in another direction, not going the same direction as God, and ended up in the same storm without God. You know what's a tragic thought this morning? To think about you going through a financial, or physical, or an emotional, or some kind of disturbing situation in your life without God. You can be saved in here this morning, and you were to die today, you're going to heaven, but you can live this life without God. There's churches that have church without God all the time. There's preachers that preach without the power of God all the time. There's families that live their lives in marriages that go on all the time without God. And I'm telling you what, those disciples, if they would not have followed the direction of God, if they would not have got on board with Him and got on that ship when He said, follow me, they would have went through that storm and that ship would have been battered and some of them probably would have lost their life. Oh, but they decided to get on with the One that created the heaven and the earth. They decided to follow the One who the winds and the seas and the storm obey His voice. And I'm telling you what, this morning, church, I want to follow God, because there's going to come a time, and there has been some times, where we've gone through some heartaches, and we've gone through some tribulations, and we will go through them as a church. Things are going to come against this church if we serve God and stand up for Him. But I'm telling you what, if we're following God, we just got to go wake the Master. Say, God, You told us to follow You. We followed, and now we're about to drown. You know what He does? He gets up and says, I'll take care of it. All I ask you to do is follow Me. Are you following Him this morning, church? I told you, I don't have an outline. I just had a thought this morning. Are you following Him? Are you following Him in your home and in your marriage? And as a church, are we going to follow God? As long as I'm here, we're going to do the best we can to follow Him. We're not perfect. Sometimes we're going to get off. You say, if you get off, what do? You get back on. Get right with God. Say, I'm sorry, I failed. God, we made decisions in our marriage. We made decisions in our home. We made decisions with our children that we're not following you. God, I'm sorry. Lord, would you help me fix it? I want to get back on your boat. There's so many people today in their homes and in their marriages, they're out on a life sea that's vicious and it's cruel and it's wicked, and they're out there without God, just floating around in the water, not knowing where to go. And you know what they need to do? They just need to climb back on that old ship of Zion with God and say, Lord, I'm going to get back in church. I'm going to get right with you. I'm going to be faithful to you, and I'm going to follow you. Man, there's been times growing up, be out in the woods with my uncles hunting, chasing dogs and going coon hunting and deer hunting, and they'd set me off somewhere there, and as a little guy, my uncle would say, keep up, keep up, keep up. We're trying to chase these dogs. We don't want them to get away. Trying to get that raccoon, trying to get that deer. Keep up! My little legs trying to keep up as fast as I could. Every now and again, I remember times we'd all be out there, and I'd get distracted. Amen? I'd get distracted looking off at something. Man, look at that. What did I hear over there? And next thing you know, I turn around and the person I'm supposed to be following is gone. Now, trapper knows what it's like to be in the middle of the woods and don't know if your daddy's coming back. You heard him preach the other night, amen? He knows what that's like. That's a scary feeling of not knowing. Somewhere down the line, I stopped. I got my eyes off of the one I was supposed to be following. And I put them on the surroundings. And next thing you know, God's still, he's trudging on. He's got people to save. He's got homes to bless. He's got families to fix. He's got churches to bless. And he's moving on. And somewhere down the line, I got distracted. And somewhere down the line, you might have got distracted by the world. Somewhere down the line, you got distracted by the things of this world. And next thing you know, you look around and say, what happened to my marriage? What happened to my home? There's churches all over the place this morning, Brother Johnny, that are sitting there with a small handful of people, and they look around and say, what happened to our church? The pews used to be full. The altars used to be stained with tears. What happened? And you get to thinking about it, you get to looking back saying, when I thought I heard something over here and I went to go check it out, next thing you know, the person I was following disappeared. They kept trudging on. They thought you were behind them, but they left. And somewhere down the line, you got off from following God. And I'm here to tell you this morning, church, we need God. And we need to follow Him. Miss Sarah, you come play something on the piano. Every head, let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. What about it, church? Say this morning, hey, I need God. My marriage needs God. Lord, I need to follow you in my home. And as a church, we need you, Lord. What about it this morning? I'm trying to encourage you. You say, Brother Andrew, we're doing our best to follow God. I'm trying to encourage you this morning. Stay on it. Stay following God. I've gotten crossways with Him in a few areas of my life. There's some things I'm not following God because I'm scared. Oh, I'm telling you, it's scary without Him. It's a whole lot better with Him. There's many that have come this morning and got on the altar. Did God speak to your heart this morning? He might have gave me this message for me this morning. I don't know. But He put it on my heart heavy. If God spoke to your heart, you come. You come get on this altar this morning. Hey, I need God. There might be someone here this morning that has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Oh, today could be the day you could be saved. Today could be the day when you start following God. You come get saved and born again. You say, I got to join the church. No, you don't. You don't got to join this church. You don't even have to get in the baptismal pool to be saved. You just come and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Say, well, I got to quit doping. I got to quit drinking. I got to quit doing all these things. No, you don't. Come get saved and God will take care of those. He'll start working in your life and helping you. All you have to do is come down, admit you're a sinner, realize that He died on the cross for your sins, and ask Him to come in your heart and save you, and He'll save you. Would you come this morning? There's some that are already down here. Nobody's looking. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Christian, you pray this morning. There's someone here this morning that does not know Christ as their personal Savior. Would you come? You come get on this altar. God's doing a business down here. You just pray. You just pray as long as you need to. She's praying about following Jesus. Wherever he goes, I will follow. Wherever he leads, I will follow. Amen. All right, you can look up here. I appreciate you being here this morning, and I appreciate you let me just preach what was on my heart this morning. Amen. I didn't even get to anything I wrote down. I just read those verses this morning. But I'm telling you, church, we have to realize that we need God. You say, well, we do. Well, you need to keep knowing that. Amen. Stay on the course with God. If we don't, we could end up just like every other church, every other Christian, every other home, every other family that's left God. But what's sad is what I've realized is that's become the status quo. It's become acceptable among Christians to not really, 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 truly know who God is. It's been acceptable for teenagers to just go through the motions and not really know who God is. We have to follow Him. I need Him. I need Him. Amen. We get to the point where we need Him more than our very next breath. We need Him more than our next bite of food. We'll be doing good. Amen. You're not going to arrive till you get to heaven. You've got to stay on that course. You've got to keep following and keep going after Him and keep striving to serve Him and please Him. We need God, and we must follow Him. Amen. Just a reminder, as soon as we're done, anybody that's able to help with Vacation Bible School, go see Sister Sarah in the back. And be in prayer for youth camp this week. Pray for me tonight. I'll be preaching in Pell City. And pray for the kids this week. Church Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. And if you can, you need to be here at 6 o'clock. Even if I'm not here, you're not following me, follow God. Amen. Follow God. And even though I'm not going to be here, I expect you to be here Wednesday night if you can. And try to be here. So, Brother Hyde, you dismiss in a word of prayer.